Open your Bibles quickly to Philippians chapter 3, if you would. Here's what I want to do. I just want to show you one phrase that stuck out to me. And really, I honestly don't have a lot to preach today, hardly anything at all. I'm just going to use this as a springboard, a diving board, to get into some testimonies and some prayer about what the Lord did this week. I'm going to just share a couple of things with you. Philippians 3. While we were at the conference this week, Jesus Culture Conference. Jesus Culture is a ministry that is... Here, I'm going to lock this down. I don't want to knock it down and scare everybody. Later. Jesus Culture is a ministry that was birthed out of Bethel Church in Redding, California, where Bill Johnson is pastor. Many of you are familiar with Bill and his ministry, as we've been connected with them for a few years now, and they are part of what the Lord has spoken into us. Pardon me if I ramble a little bit, but there's just a lot I'm going to try to nail down. It's like nailing Jell-O to the wall to try to talk about this week. But one of the things that I heard the Lord say this week, they had workshops one day, and as they're talking about what different workshops would be, they described a workshop a certain way. Now, I didn't get to go to it, but the one phrase they used in the description of it, man, just really stuck with me. And what they said is, okay, we're going to be talking about how to be a voice, not an echo. In other words, how to be originally what God is saying to you, not just to be a copy of some other church or a copy of some other ministry or a copy of some other worship band. And they're saying, listen, Jesus Culture, we're writing these songs because we don't want to just copy what's coming out of Nashville, although it's wonderful, it's great stuff, but we don't want to be a copy. We don't want to be an echo. We want to be a voice. And so the Lord began to speak about that, and I've just been thinking about that as far as us at Deeper Life finding our voice. Now, the interesting thing is, I think if you ask people in the city, does Deeper Life have a voice? Is there a certain sound? I think a lot of people say, yeah, man, there's a sound there. But still, we're finding, I remember, I got to tell you, early on, my pastorate, Miriam was there the whole time. But there were times when I would just try to, and frankly, it was things, and it wasn't bad, it was just I didn't know any better. But after going to Brownsville, man, went back to Texas and said, okay, we're going to bring that right here. And so, but I was just trying, all I knew to do was be an echo. Well, over the years, God has given us a voice. And so we're finding that more and more to be able to say, okay, everything that gets deposited into us from Bill Johnson, from Jesus Culture, from New Life Church, the things I got from Ted Haggard, from Desperation, from the Fellowship of Connected Churches and Ministries, Peter Paris, Dudley Hall, Jim Hilton, Jack Taylor, all these things that God has been pouring into here for 7 years, they all get swirled together and becomes the mix that helps us find our voice of who we are. Does that make sense? As I was thinking about that, today, I don't know if you've seen this, but today, this is kind of what the Lord's been doing all week. I was driving here this morning, and I passed one of these political yard signs, and I don't even know who it was. I don't know what they were running for, but the top of the sign said, a voice, not an echo. Yeah. I mean, right down the street from us. I hadn't seen that before. Never thought about that phrase until I heard it this week, but then saw it here in our city, on our street. So I believe, and I think that's God's plan for every church. Every church, every believer is supposed to be a voice, not an echo. God, what are you saying to me? And so, I'm just kind of pursuing that. One of the speakers this week, a guy named Benny Perez, and Benny was awesome. Benny's cool. He's a pastor that he when he was pastoring in Marysville, Washington, there was a great move of God there back in the 90s. It was a really incredible thing. And now he's pastoring. They planted a church, he and his family, in Las Vegas. We're discovering more and more real moves of God going on in Las Vegas. It's awesome. So got a great church there where God's really moving. And Benny is a hoot, man. He's hilarious. But wonderful teacher and deep things of God. Anyway, Benny, the first time he spoke, he went to this passage in Philippians 3. And I'm not going to preach what he preached, but because there was one passage that he didn't really land on, but stuck with me as we were going over it. It just kind of got stuck with me. And I'll probably mention a couple of things that he did. But look at Philippians 3. Look at verse 7. Paul's writing, he says, but everything that was a gain to me, I've considered to be a loss because of Christ. In other words, I'm giving everything up for him. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them filth. And when he says I've suffered the loss of, if we were saying that about somebody, because of him, I've suffered the loss of all things, we'd be complaining. right? That'd be a complaint. Oh, because of that guy made me lose everything. Because of him, I suffer the loss of all things. That's not what Paul is saying. He's not complaining about it. He's just saying, and that word suffer doesn't mean suffer like we think of suffer. He's saying, I have experienced. He said, because of Christ, I have experienced all the things that I thought were important being taken away, and I found out they weren't really important after all. And so I've considered those things that I've lost to be unimportant, to be like dung, like the dump or a pile of excrement. He said, that's how important those things are to me now. All the things that I thought were important before. Well, what was that for him, do you think? Reputation, standing in the community, you know, religious leader, all this stuff. He said, you know what? None of that matters anymore. For, he said, I've traded all of that in for the surpassing value of the knowledge of knowing Jesus. So, I've suffered the loss of all things and consider them filth so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. All right. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Now, this is the phrase that sticks with me. And I think about that in the version that I memorized growing up where Paul said, this is my goal, to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. I exist. My goal in life, the one thing that I'm living for is to grab hold of, to lay hold of, to attain, to put my hands on the thing for which Christ has put his hands on me. I want to grip the thing for which he has gripped me. Here's the shift that happened in me this week. I'll be honest with you guys about this. We're taking the sabbatical for a reason. This 8 weeks is to get refreshed, recharged. We're just tired. You know, 7 years of church planting is hard work, and we love you dearly, and you guys are a joy to us, and you make ministry a joy, not a burden. And we appreciate that very much. We just need some time away and time to... And I've told you, one of the things that I realize is I can't remember actually how long it's been since I read the scripture without automatically thinking, okay, how do I preach this? How do I form this into a message? And what other scriptures do I tie in? It's just an automatic. And so I need to disengage that gear for a while and just receive from the Lord for me. Well, we got there. Wednesday night was the first night of the conference. We had a great time. Before that, we ate at Papacito's. Yeah, that's right, Tuesday night, and it was awesome. So that was a really good start. It really, there was an anointing on that guacamole, I think, that started this whole deal. So we had a great time there. And then Wednesday evening, the conference started. And I'll be honest with you, frankly, I had a hard time connecting. I just couldn't engage. The worship, it was good. I could tell it was good. And I could see that people all over the place were experiencing the presence of God. I could see that. I didn't deny it. Wasn't critical of it. I just couldn't get connected. So I thought, well, obviously there's just something wrong with me and maybe God will fix that. And so at the end of worship, they brought Cindy Jacobs up. How many know who Cindy Jacobs is? All right. She's the head of a group called Generals of Intercession. And she's a prophet in the house of God. She really is. And I've heard her for years, and we have some mutual friends, and so we've met before once, I think. But anyway, she spoke. She goes to that church, the Trinity Church in Cedar Hill, Texas, south of Dallas, where they was hosting this. And anyway, she spoke. It was really good, you know, some good stuff. I felt like I was just kind of hanging out. I felt like I was just walking around looking in the window at everybody having fun at a party. As we were walking to the car, Cindy Jacobs and her husband were walking to their truck, and so Alan Armstrong and I were walking together, and he said, look, there's Cindy. I said, doggone it, I'm getting prayed for. So I got over that years ago of being afraid to ask for prayer. So I just accosted Cindy Jacobs and her husband in the parking lot, and I tripped them. And I went and stopped them and said, hey, listen, Cindy, I'm a friend of Terry Moore. You know, oh, yeah, wait. So listen, here's the guys I'm connected with in Texas. They're sending me on a sabbatical of 8 weeks. And you know, she said, good for you. That's awesome. I said, well, here's the deal. I couldn't really connect tonight. I don't, you know, what that is. And And in fact, earlier in the service, I told Alan Armstrong, I said, Alan, I'm just not quite into it. He said, you know what? This type of worship is a little different than what we've been used to. It's a generational thing. Maybe they're just... I said, okay, well, maybe... Anyway, Cindy and her husband said, do you have an iPhone? I said, are you kidding me? We are the apple of his eye, for crying out loud. So he said, you might want to turn it on, the voice recording thing, so that you can get what she says. Because she began to prophesy. And so I did. So I got it all. I've listened to a couple times. Anyway, some of it's just for me, frankly, and you don't get to hear it. But I would say a couple of things she said that were significant. And she said, listen, just because you can't, you don't connect the same way this generation connects, she said, don't let that make you think that you don't connect. She said, God says to you, you hear my voice. She said, the Lord is pulling you aside for a time to just be with him. And he's going to take you to green pastures, and it's going to be incredible. And she said, I'm getting to the point. She said, and at the end of this 8 weeks, she said, the nations are going to be calling. And she said, you have asked the Lord for the nations, and he's going to bring you into that. Now, I mean, that's for all of us, obviously. So anyway, it was some really cool things, and she said some things that the Lord had been speaking to me. Now, here's why I say that. When I read this verse in Philippians, it says, I want to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. I immediately go to that place of success in ministry. I want to grab onto that place of success in ministry because that's why God has laid hold of me. I want to fulfill all this. I want to reach the nations. I want to be significant in that. I want to be, you know, one of those who is a voice and leads us into all. Man, I want to accomplish all those things for which Christ laid hold of me. But here's how I begin to realize, guys, that is not that for which Christ laid hold of me. That's not what he gripped me for. For none of you, for none of us in this room, I've said this 1,000 times, but now I'm starting to understand. He did not save you for what he could get out of you. So, Mark, what's the calling of my life? What's my destiny? I don't know. That's not the most important question, though. You know, Mark, I'll find my fulfillment when I can move in my calling. Well, it'll be satisfying for you, but I'm telling you, that's short of the goal. Paul said, my goal is to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Do you want to know what he laid hold of you for? Paul said it earlier. My goal is that I may know him. You understand? Your knowing Jesus is what he laid hold of you for. That's the whole point. You don't know why you were saved? He saved you so that you could know him. Period. That's it. He didn't save you to change the nations. He saved you so you could know him. Now, when you really know him, there's a good chance you're going to change the nations. You're absolutely going to change the people around you. But that's not why he saved you. Guys, I'm telling you, we have got to somehow back off of this deal that makes us think that we're failing God if we're not accomplishing great things for the kingdom. You have one goal, everybody. There's one thing on your to-do list from God. You understand? If God today gives you a to-do list, there's one thing on it, one and only one, to know him. And tomorrow, when you get up, if God gives you a brand, if you get up and you look at your refrigerator, and during the night, God has sent an angel to magnetize a to-do list on that refrigerator, it's going to have one thing on it. Amen. Know me.
Amen.
That's all. Do you understand? That's all you're required to do. Know him. Guys, it is not, you know, it's really freeing for me to know that I don't have to come back in 8 weeks with some great, powerful revelation. But I'll be doggone if I'm not going to come back knowing him better. So let me tell you what I'm going to be about for the next 8 weeks. I want to know him. I don't want to just find out how to grow a church. I don't want to just find out how to reach the city. I don't want to know him just to find out stuff. You know what? As I know him more and more, I think he'll tell me all those things. And the same with you. As you get to know him, he will tell you all those things. He'll tell you how. He'll show you how to reach your family, how to reach your neighbors, how to reach the nations. He'll show you how to do that. But that's not why he saved you. He did not lay hold of you so that you could do stuff for him. He has gripped you for one reason, so that you can know him. And Paul said, that's what I want to grab a hold to. See, if we, you know, Paul, if he had been in South Israel, he would have said, I'm going to grab a hold to this one thing. That's what I'm going to grab a hold to. I want to grab a hold to that thing for which he has grabbed a hold of me. I want to get to that thing where I can say, yeah, I know him. I know him. I'm getting there. I want to grab that thing and say, I know Jesus. I know what makes him happy. I know what breaks his heart. I know what makes him excited. I know what he says. I know what he does. I'm seeing him. I'm hearing him. I'm speaking his words. Man, I'm just living in this presence of God. That's another thing the Lord spoke to me this week, and Pam and Neil and I talked about that. You know, there's just these guys at Jesus Culture, frankly, there's something that sets them different from anybody I've ever seen before. They really have done well over years, decades, they have been consistent at this thing of just walking in the presence of God all the time, wherever they are. They just expect nothing less, that God will speak to them all the time, every day, no matter where they are. They just expect it. They live that way. And it's nothing strange to them. It's not unusual. Now, let me just say this. There's one thing that I do want to say to you. As the Lord begins to develop our voice and call us into more and more as we walk into knowing Jesus more and experiencing the presence of God more, I will tell you, let me just say this to you. For those of you who know my background, do not make the mistake of thinking that just because I came out of a Baptist legacy that I can't walk in all the things that God has for us to walk in. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, that don't think that I'm handicapped because I'm a recovering Baptist. In fact, I honor that legacy as helping me have a foundation that brings us back to this point where we can say it's all about Jesus. It is about the centrality of Jesus. It really is all about it. It's about knowing him. I'll give you one illustration Benny Perez gave that was just awesome. And he talked about how his son's birthday was going to be this weekend, turning 10 years old. And yesterday, they'd be having a party for his son. He said, you know, we've invited friends over. And Benny is Hispanic. He's Latino American. And very proud of that. And he said he married a Caucasian woman and they have 3 coconuts. They're brown on the outside and white on the inside. And anyway, he said his son Benjamin was turning 10. He said, we've got friends coming over. He said, there's going to be cake and there's going to be presents and there's going to be partying. He said, since we're Hispanic, there's going to be a piñata and all this stuff. He said, we don't ever in our house want to lose sight of the fact that the party is not about the cake. It's not about the ice cream. It's not about the music. It's not about the piñata. It's not about the party. That is all to celebrate a person. And the person is my son, Benjamin. That's who this is for. That the purpose of the party is to celebrate. Now, what we've done for too often in the church, especially as we get it, as we see God heal and do amazing things, we make it about, oh, it's about healing, or it's about prophetic, or it's about words of knowledge, or it's about this. Y'all, that's all just the trappings of the party. It's about Jesus. See, we're not living for the party. We're living for the person. And frankly, wherever that person goes, a party follows him. And so guys, listen, don't get caught up in, it's not about, now this is, you know, here's what I love about this. This is the message coming out of the church that sees more people healed than anybody in our country. And they're saying, guys, it's not about the healings. It's about Jesus. I love that. That is really refreshing to me. Man, that is awesome. And so as we go forward, part of God developing our voice is for us to say, you know what? Man, we're having fun. Our kids, and you're going to hear some stories in just a moment about some words of knowledge they had and things. And they, but it's not about the fun of the experience of having a word of knowledge. That has to be a lifestyle, not an event. It's about the person, Jesus, who gives words of knowledge. It's not about praying for somebody and seeing them healed. It's about Jesus who heals them. So as we move in all this, I love the fact that God has kept us, even this week, the word has kept us centered and grounded in this thing that says, you know what? It's all about Jesus. The party is great, but we don't come for the party, we come for the person. Does that make sense? All right. Now that is incredible. That's why, Marion, I don't have a party planned for you today because it's about you, sweetheart. So anyway, this is your party. Surprise! Now, let me tell you something, and I'm going to give you one of my quick experience, and I'm going to pray for somebody, then I'm going to let some of the kids come up, okay? Sarah, where are you? Where's Sarah?
Right here.
Oh, there you are. Right there next to your mom. Didn't expect that. Okay. No, it's your birthday. It's your birthday. It's sitting next to you. Okay. So, yeah, Sarah. Nathaniel and Mary Kate, you guys come with her when she tells the story, okay? In just a second. Not yet. And then, who else? Y'all help me remember.
Well, I'd like to share Kara. Kara's not here, but I'd like to share.
You can share Kara's thing. Cool. And Samuel, you and Daniel, I want you guys to share your story, okay? And yeah, Gabriel? Yeah, okay. All right, good. Now, here's the thing. We're going to have to let a few of the kids share. All of them have stories. I'm telling you, there's lots of stories. Yeah, Libby? Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay, Emily has to go. We'll let Emily go first. Good. Before you have to go. Okay. All right. Good. Emily, come on up. Tell your story right now. There you go. Good. There you go.
I feel so honored to be here today. This conference has really just shown me what God is doing in my life, and it's just like, just blessing upon blessing. It's like, it's crazy. I feel like I'm in a dream or something. Like, what is going on? Like, why does he love me so much? What I was going to say was, I feel like I really experienced God's love for me in a powerful way. Like, just like his goodness and his holiness, you know, it just like, and some parts of it were kind of like healing my heart, and other parts were like, you know, pulling burdens off me and, you know, knowing that God's taking care of everything. But the most powerful thing that happened was like God drilled into me my purpose. And this guy prophesied after me, I mean, prophesied over me, excuse me. And he after I prayed for him for healing for his eye and he got healed and everything.
Yeah,
that was
come
awesome.
On.
I was good. Like, what the crap? And sorry, excuse my language. we're in church, I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm a teenager. But
remember, I'm going to be gone for 8 weeks, so.
he prophesied over me that that I would be a worship leader and have a worship ministry all around the world. And I was like, what? And he said, like, I would record by the time I was 18. I'm like, what? And, like, I've always been that kid who was, like, in the corner, who had, like, potential, but no one really ever gave me solos. And I never really got recognized for really, you know, like, I guess, like, singing and stuff. And I've always been like, you know, God, this isn't fair, you know. Why me? You know, pity party. And, like, I feel like God really confirmed to me, you know, I have placed talent in you, and, you know, I've set you up for a purpose, and, you know, you really do sound good, and I'm not trying to be all boasting, but I just feel like he really said, you know, like, I have a plan for you, and, you know, this is really going to be, like, amazing. And so anyway, the guy said that was prophesying over me, like, when you would sing, you know, people would come under the presence of God just like that, you know, just, like, feel the presence of God, just, like, fall out, you know. And I was like, why? Like, I was so amazed at it. I was like, this is just incredible. And also, it was like, this conference, like, kind of showed me that I have the gift of healing. And I was like, I mean, like, God's given it to me, and, like, God's, like, using me to do this stuff. And it's just like, I saw God as a healer, and it's just so amazing. And I just like, I want healing for people. And it was like confirmation for that too. So Like, and I felt like I was freed up, and it was just like, it was a wonderful thing. It was really wonderful, you know, just look at Jesus.
Amen.
It was really great.
Good. All right. Thank God. Thanks, Emily. That's awesome. Good, good, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. All right. The Lord's going to work on that shyness a little bit, though. So have a great time at your next camp.
Thank you.
All right. All right, let me tell you something that, well, two things. One, I don't want to forget later, but, you know, the last night we were there is during ministry time, and people were getting healed all over the place, which was cool, and then it was great. Anyway, the day we left, we left here at 6 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. Well, I'd had this infection in this left ear that had gone away. All of a sudden, that morning, I woke up, it felt like somebody had stabbed an ice pick into my ear, in my head. I mean, I was in excruciating pain. If you saw me here Tuesday morning and I was not nice to you, let me apologize now. Because I was in a bad mood. I was in real pain. And so I had miraculously, and I don't say that lightly, found some eardrops the doctor had prescribed that morning as I was finishing packing. And so half the way there, Marion's driving, and I'm pouring this stuff down my ear, and it was terrible. Anyway, it stayed painful the whole time. I mean, I was in pain, really. I mean, it was shooting, stabbing pains. It was bad. Well, on Friday night, I guess, during ministry time, I'd gone down on the floor section. Anyway, at one point, Banning Liebscher, who was one of the leaders, said, listen, just anybody here need healing in their body? And I said, yeah. He said, okay, just lift your right hand and ask the Lord to anoint that hand. Then, okay, now put it on whatever's affecting your body and man, just proclaim healing. So I said, why not? So I did that. And you know, nobody's praying for me. I just proclaim healing. Anyway, I mean, immediately, all of a sudden, it had been real tender and painful. And in about a minute, it went away. About 75% of that pain was gone. I thought, well, that's cool. I'll take that. Do you know, by the time I woke up the next morning, it was completely fine. So that's cool. I got a healing. Woo! And I've seen people heal before, but I didn't really receive one myself. So that was kind of fun. All right, God loves me too. All right. Now, one of the things we did was, it's called City Invasion, where they would divide us up into groups, and we went as a group with some other groups to a place in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And, of course, it's a huge, but I mean, we're talking 5 million people there. So they dropped us off. We went to like a shopping center kind of area. But before that, in Bill Johnson's church, they do this thing out of the School of Ministry called a treasure hunt, where they say, okay, what you want to do is get together and ask the Lord for a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is something that the Lord tells you that you didn't know beforehand. Ask the Lord for a word of knowledge about somebody that he wants you to look for, to be aware of, to go pray for. And then when you find it, go pray for him. And so there's lots of great stories. And people get really weird things. You know, like, so we had one group at one of these conferences that said, okay, they got a picture in their mind in that sanctified imagination of a blue frog and a pink palm tree. Where in the world are you just going to go out and find a blue frog and a pink palm tree? I mean, you could look for that every day and not find it. They went out, and in the mall they went to, they happened to walk by a nail salon that had a sale going on, and they had painted on their front window a blue frog and a pink palm tree. And so that was the spot on their treasure map where they were looking where God was moving and looking for somebody to pray for. There's all kinds of really incredible stories that I can't go into right now, but eventually you'll hear. And I'd like to have some of those guys come and teach here about that. And anyway, there's more I can't tell you right now. But as we were praying, I felt like, now I know this is going to sound weird, but I'll just tell you. I mean, and this is funny. Anytime people tell these stories, we always start that way. I know this is going to sound weird, but here's what the Lord said. I got a picture in my mind of somebody, and it was walked out, and people said, well, who are you looking for? I said, well, I'll tell you, I'm looking for a lady with Libby Badon hair and a blue purse. Because Libby is so beautiful, and she has this distinctive hairstyle. And so, I know, so hang on. That's who I was looking for. Now, we went out to the shopping center, and I didn't find her. I didn't see her. And so, on the way home yesterday, everywhere we stopped, I'm looking. I didn't see this woman. And I said, you know, if we walk in tomorrow, and Libby Badon has a blue purse, then I'm going to have to know that that's who this is. And sure enough, we walk in a few minutes ago, and Libby has a blue purse. Now, what that means is, I'm going to pray for you here in just a minute, okay? I feel like the Lord's saying something. It was for you. I really thought it was somebody who looked like you, but it was for you. Who knew? So I know. So that's nobody has Libby Bedon hair like you. So I love that. I mean, it's a beautiful, wonderful hairstyle. But, you know, I mean, not everybody in the room looks like you because you're prettier than everybody else in the room. So anyway, we're going to pray for you in a minute. But that was just kind of, it's one of those things that the Lord was doing. Okay. Now, there are other things that went on. So why don't you hear this one first? Sarah, you can come up. Nathaniel, Mary Kate, y'all come up, stand with her, okay? And join in as you need to. Come on right down here, yeah. So that this will reach you. Okay, tell them about your deal.
Okay, was it Friday we went out for mm-hmm. the Words of Knowledge? Okay, so we went out the City Invasion, right? And on the way there, it was Nathaniel and Mary Kate and my group, and we were praying on the way there. And almost as immediately as we started praying for Words of Knowledge, I know this is going to sound weird, but God said, Bobby Jack and dreadlocks. And Bobby Jack is this mascot for a brand that Limited 2 used to sell, and I haven't thought about him since I was like 11. Right, he's a monkey. Okay, so I'm looking for a monkey with dreadlocks. It's going to be easy. And so we drive into this big shopping center, and there's a Bed Bath & Beyond, right? That's what it's called, Bed Bath & Beyond, right over here. And we drove in, and I was like, I have to go there. I don't know why, but I have to go there. So we drive in, and we walk in, and as soon as we walk in, there's a Bobby Jack stuffed animal next to a poster of Bob Marley. Okay? So I'm sitting there, I'm just like, okay. All right, we'll just hang out here for a little bit. So we were so excited. We're like jumping up and down. Like, God's here, God's here.
Bob Marley, by the way, for those of you who don't know.
He has dreadlocks.
Is a reggae artist from Jamaica who has, he was known for his dreadlocks. So
that, yeah. And, okay, we're hanging out for about 5 minutes and we just hang there and we're like, okay, no one's walking by. And the only other people there are other people that are there looking for people to pray for from our other group, right? So I was like, okay, there's no one here. So we waited about 5 or 10 minutes, and we're about to go. We're like, okay, maybe this is just a spot on the treasure map. And this lady walks by, and she has this toe cast, right? And we walk up to her, we're like, that's her. So we walk up, and we're like, so what happened? Can we pray for you? And she's like, yeah, I just had a bone removed from my toe or something painful like that last week. And we're like, so do you have pain? Can we pray for you? She's like, yeah, I'm in pain. So we all get down around her toes. We're all like crouched around her foot in the middle of Bed Bath & Beyond next to a poster of Bob Marley. And and we just rebuke this. We pray for healing right now. God, in the name of Jesus. We got up and we're like, so how do you feel? Is there any pain? She's like, I don't feel anything. This is kind of weird. What'd you do? This is scary. Thank you. And then she just leaves. We're like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, amen.
Praise Jesus.
Cool. All right, thanks, guys. All right, I just wanted them up here, too, so you could see that they were all in this together. And we're all in this. Okay, so it was awesome. The lady got healed. She felt no more pain in her toe. Isn't that cool? Love that. Very cool stuff. All right, Gabriel, you have something you want to share? Come on up. Nathaniel, you come on up again, too. Nathaniel's just going to come up with everybody.
And I asked these guys to come up because yesterday on our way back, we had a flat tire. We had a blowout on the U-Haul that we had. And so basically I was stranded on the side of the road for about 3-4 hours on the way back. And so we unloaded the kids out of that van and we put them, I know, Father, I ask for forgiveness right now. But we stuffed them all in the other van. And they were able to go up to the mall, which was about 30 miles up, and they were able to spend the day, the 4 hours that I was on the side of the road at the mall. And God spoke to me this morning. He said, now, I did that for a reason, not to blow out the tire, he said, but, you know, he can use everything. And so, you know, here it is. We're on our way back, and so the kids pretty much they spent all their money. So now they're in the middle of the mall. Okay, what are they supposed to do? You know, they're in a mall, no money. What are they supposed to do? So I just wanted to share that with you for what they're going to say.
Amen.
Yeah, so flat tire. So now we're at a mall for some reason. So we're at a mall. And so I needed a travel buddy, so Nathaniel. Yeah. So we decided we just go and look around. So we ended up in GameStop, and we just... were about to leave, and we saw a lady in a wheelchair, and she had a little baby, and we're like, hey, we should probably pray for her. So we went over and asked, hey, is there anything wrong? I was like, no, I just had a baby. And so Nail was like, hey, can we just pray for your baby then? So we did, and we said God would use that baby for great things. And so we felt really pumped up, and we're really excited and stuff. So as we were leaving, we saw two different people with problems walk past each other. So we're like, crud. So we went. One guy had a problem. He couldn't feel the nerves in his foot. So we prayed for that guy, and then we went after another lady. But we thought she had a prosthetic leg because it was a huge cast, like, on the outside of her leg. But Nathaniel decided that we should just go ahead and ask her anyway. He found out she actually had a seizure, and she couldn't really feel her leg at all. So we prayed for that, too. So we decided, well, we have a little extra money, so we got a pretzel. So we're eating pretzels, and we see a lady in a wheelchair again, and her leg's like this, and she said she had problems in her knee, like nerve endings. So we also prayed for that, too, and we just felt awesome. And that was really
great. Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I love it. Nathaniel, you want to say anything?
I was actually not prepared for anything that happened when we went in there. I completely forgot that we had gone to Jesus Culture at all. I was just ready to go home. So we were in GameStop, and we saw the lady pull up in the wheelchair. But as we were walking out after we had just prayed for the baby, we saw two people walk by each other. And I'm like, you know, I already prayed for someone. I'm okay. But then I just felt... I couldn't leave that alone. So we went back and prayed for the guy and hunted down the other woman and prayed for her. And so after we sat down, we saw a lady that had a car accident. And so her foot was lifted up and she couldn't feel anything in her leg. So we prayed for that, and she seemed more touched by the prayer than the actual effect of the prayer.
Wow, that's good.
So.
Yeah, amen. Good, good, good.
Okay. City Invasion. In City Invasion, our group was supposed to go, like, to the Highlands. It's like a strip mall and restaurants and stuff. So I needed, again, some travel buddies. So ended up with little forces, like Lauren and Emily. And I spent so long trying to find someone to be in the group with, I forgot that we needed to have a word of knowledge. So, I just really quickly, like, closed my eyes, and, like, all of a sudden I just thought, okay, black shirt and white tennis shoes. So I'm like, okay. So we're driving in, about to park, and I look out to the right, and there's a guy in a black shirt with white tennis shoes, and he's got a knee brace on with crutches. I'm like, that's the dude. So we parked, and we ran after him, and someone was already there, so we just agreed with them, and his knee was pretty much healed.
Amen. Yeah. Awesome. Good. Thanks, guys. That's good. Thank you, guys. One of the things we began to see this week, really, that I realized more than ever was when God does that, when he's healing people, and not all, you know, when you hear the stories from some of these other Jesus Culture conferences and things, incredible stuff, and it's not always about healing. Sometimes it's about just the Lord wanting to say something to somebody, but it's always about God speaking his love to somebody. It's always about God sharing his love, showing that he loves them. So when healing, guys, is not just about God wants you to feel better. It's that he really wants you to know his love. It's about an encounter with the love of God. There's another thing that Banning Liebscher talked about last night. It was incredible Friday night. That, you know, we are changed when we encounter the love of God. That's what changes us. And I thought about all the times in my life where I've had watershed moments with the Lord, and every one of them has been an encounter that I had with the love that God has for me. It says, we love him because he first loved us. It's an encounter with the love of God for you that changes your life. So, and that's what all this is about. Sometimes not about healing. It's just about speaking the love of the Father for somebody. But it's incredible stuff. Imagine, just for a moment, imagine if we were to take this kind of stuff and pair it. We've talked about this. Pair it, couple it with servant evangelism. See, one of the things they say Jesus Culture is, you know, go out there, you're going to be offered to pray for people, but you're going to get turned down. You need to be turned down at least 3 times for this to be a success. You know what we found, though? When we go out pumping people's gas and serving them, we don't really hardly ever get turned down for prayer. So what if you pair servant evangelism outreaches with the Lord having spoken to you about somebody? What if you're looking for somebody with a blue frog on their shirt and they come through your gas pump? Well, you already know something about them. You have something to say. Man, can you just think for a moment about the power of those kinds of outreaches all over the city if we put this together. Awesome. Okay, Samuel, Daniel, y'all coming up. And Sydney. Yeah, that's right. Sydney was there too. And I'll let y'all decide how you want to tell this, but just, okay, tell it.
We're going to let Daniel go first.
Okay, because I'm just more important. All right, so we were at the training for the city invasion, and you know, they're telling us all these stories about, you know, Blue Frog and Pink Palm Tree, and I'm like, that's really good. I'll just go pray for people, you know. I'll let them get the, you know, words. So we're sitting in, like, the back row of the van, and, you know, we're just kind of praying in the spirit, just asking God to show us stuff, and I'm, like, getting nothing. And Sam's got, like, he's, like, scribbling furiously. He's got, like, eight things. I'm like, I'm going to look for your list. Anyway. But, you know, I was just kind of, you know, just praying kind of quietly in the spirit, and I was just kind of trying to relax and not, you know, think of anything, just try to, you know, let something come to me. And there's just, like, this syllable I was saying that sounded like VR, like, I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of like Chevy, you know, Chevrolet. So I was like, no, you know. So for about 5 minutes, I was like, you know, that was just me. But I didn't get anything else. So I was just like, okay, I'm 99% sure I'm missing this. Just write down Chevrolet so I'll have something at least on the list. Say that I heard God and, yeah. Anyway, so, you know, after I said Chevrolet, you know, they said, you know, he's the guy from Bethel, Atlanta. He said, you know, if I say pink elephant, you know, you automatically think of a pink element. Pink elephant in your mind's eye. And so as soon as I said Chevrolet, I saw, like, you know, the little Chevy symbol on, like, a black tailgate, like a pickup truck. So I said, okay, next to Chevy, write down black truck. You know, once again, just, you know. Anyway, so we get to the Highlands, and we kind of go out in a different direction. We're just going out in the parking lot looking for a black truck. So we're like, Ford, Nissan, okay. So finally we look, and about, I guess, 200 feet down in this other parking lot, we see, like, a black Chevy Silverado. So we walk up to it, and it's, like, the only car there, and there's no one there. And it's like, way away from where we're supposed to be. And we're like, okay, God just bless the owner of the truck, you know. And so walking the other direction through the other parking lot, and, you know, it's about 500 feet. And we're almost to the store, and guess what pulls around and parks about 50 feet in front of us? Black Chevy truck. Okay. Well, we got closer and we figured it was kind of like dark purple, but whatever. Dark Chevy, yeah. Anyway, so we were just looking at the truck. We're like, dude, it's a black Chevy. So we go in the store, and the owner goes in the store, and it's like a Best Buy. He's like, y'all want to buy my truck? I saw you looking at it. We're like, we're like, no, actually, we're at this conference called Jesus Culture, and we're just out praying for people, and we felt like God told us to look for a black Chevy truck, and you're driving one, so is there anything we can pray with you about? And he's like, well, I'm a pastor. You know, he's this black guy wearing a cowboy hat. He's like, pastors always need prayer. I was like, well, is there anything specific we can pray with you about? He's like, well, anyway, it turns out he has a son who was falsely accused of robbery, and he's been in prison for 18 years, and he prays every day that, you know, his God will, you know, just release him or whatever. But, you know, he just, I don't know, part of him was just kind of like, you know, he's just glad God took him off the streets and everything. But, you know, we were like, you know, we think God set you up and God has timing for everything. So, you know, do you mind if we pray with you? He's like, yeah, sure. So, you know, we just pray that, you know, God's kingdom would come in that situation and that, you know, justice would be done. And just try to let him know that, you know, God loved him and God loved his son. And but the cool thing is, when he was telling us this story, the car that his son got pulled over in when he was getting pulled over by the cops was a black Chevy Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
So we were like, double. Anyway, but so then we just kept on going, and this is Sam's turn.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we're in this words of knowledge thing. I'm like, okay, I'll just write down things. I have the frequently just words, people know me, just words will pop into my mind, and they're just the random words that don't make sense. But those pictures pop into my mind, and I got weird things on my list. I've got, like, you know, like the mascot for Shoney's, like that bear, I wrote him down. And Lord Licorice from Candyland, I wrote him down. And when I got these things, I got, like, a blue jersey was one of them. And we were walking, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. We've got Daniel's black Chevy, and you know, we know that God works and just weird. So we're walking through Staples. Sydney points out this woman who's wearing this blue Texas jersey shirt-ish thing. And we like hunt her down. I was like walking by the aisle. She's like on the other side. I'm like walking. You know, and I'm seeing her, and I can't get her. I'm like, where did she go? And eventually we found her, and she's on the other side of the store now. And we pray for her, and it turns out that she is also a minister, and she is organizing this youth group trip to Oklahoma or Kansas, something like that, somewhere. And nothing's falling into place. Everything that should be easy is not. And it's just really, why is this so hard? And we're like, she was in Staples to get something to make shirts for the trip. So we're like, okay, well, this is going to sound weird, but God shows me pictures of things, and he told me to pray for you because we're looking for someone with a blue jersey. And she's absolutely, I could, that'd be awesome. So pray for her, you know, that the youth group would just, the favor of God would, blessings would shower over them, and his kingdom would come, and that the kids would be focused on his glory and his mightiness. And she really appreciated that. And I think it's just another encouragement. It was a great encouragement to us, but another really strong one for her to, you know that God has his hand on things, and just to really speak to people through that.
That's good.
And so there was a few other things, like a crown. I saw this picture, like a princess crown. And sorry, my voice is cracking. I'm losing my voice. But and then Kirkland's, and this woman was like, hey, can we pray for you? You buy these princess crowns, and I know it's weird, but we're praying for people, and you buy these things. So she said, oh, thank you. Anyway, you know what? Actually, I could use some prayer. So we pray for her and pray for her family. It's just, you know, at the very least, God knows that, or they know that God loves them. Sorry. But one more story. And it was after, it was on Friday night. It was after all the city invasion was done. It was after our allotted time to go pray for people. And it was just this whole Jesus thing would be really driven into me. It's like, you know, I don't want to know who he is. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to be his hands. I want to be his feet. I want to have his heart. I want to know his prayers and what he's feeling. And so after the last session, we went to Walmart. Went to Walmart. One of the bands did, to get ice cream. The other band didn't. and so we went to Walmart, and Mr. Allen was just like, hey, just go pick out some ice cream. I was like, I'm going to go get a drink of water, you know. So I walk in the front door, and, like, here's the water fountain way over there, and there's the checkout line. So I'm like, I'm going to go get a drink of water real quick, and I'm walking, you know, and I'm looking down at people's feet and stuff, you know, who are in the checkout line. I'm walking by, I check knee braces and anything, and I don't see anything. Dang it. So I get a drink of water. I'm like, oh, this is very unsatisfying water. And God's like, you know, look around a little bit, because I just felt this draw, and just go. So I walk, I can make a full block, and I go like this, and then walk all the way down the store, and I look at everybody I see, and I'm just stare at their legs, looking for casts or braces or wheelchair or something. And then I get to the grocery, and I was like, God's like, hey, check this out. Just, he's like, take my hand, he's like, come here. So I'm looking, and I'm walking quickly down the aisle, and I look over, and there's this woman. It's this old Greek lady, and she's in this wheelchair, and she's like at the front of the aisle, and her back's facing me. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna sneak her. So I go down to the next aisle, and I'm like speeding down, run down the aisle, run down. I come to her front, and I say, hey, I'm sorry, man, can I borrow a minute of your time? She's, yeah. Okay, so again, this is gonna sound totally weird. This is gonna sound crazy, but God, he speaks to me. He talks to me, and his shot, I know, but he kind of told me to pray for you, and if there's, you know, there's something wrong with your legs, yeah, and she said, yeah, I have a trite something with a T in my legs, sure, and she said, I'm going to have to get surgery on it, and if nothing happens, I'm going to have to get surgery on it, and I don't want surgery, because I have to put in prosthetic legs, and I was like, well, you know, I believe that God is the greatest doctor of all, and he can heal you. So I prayed for her like 3 or 4 times, and I got her to walk with me a few steps. And she said the pain was all gone. There was stiffness.
Wow, amen.
There was still stiffness, but...
Amen.
Amen. And I was like, I was like, give glory to Jesus. That's awesome. She said there's still stiffness and she needed to rest for a while. But I was like, you know, this is just a testament. God is going to heal you. I firmly believe that. Just because I have to go doesn't mean that Jesus isn't speaking to you and he's gonna heal that leg. I promise you he's going to heal that leg. And I gave her a hug and she said she thanked me because she prays like twice a day, like every day that just God is just going to heal her leg. And just me coming said she just kind of reassured her, you know, God was still there. He hadn't forgotten about her. Mm-hmm. He was still there. And it was great to know that Jesus works and to be his vessel and all that.
Amen. Awesome. Cool. Awesome.
I just wanted to say really fast, I mean, we had other people we prayed for and got words of knowledge for, but, you know, it was so funny. We went into a makeup store, and, you know, I've got these two guys with me, right? And Sam's just barreling through this store just looking for people. And all these ladies are kind of like, you know, these are the only two guys in this store full of women. And so I'm like, maybe you should, you know, kind of walk behind me as I look. But it... Yeah, and they're just kind of freaking these ladies out. But it just kind of reminded me, you know, Scott, the guy who kind of sent us out, he was saying, you know, maybe you should, you know, if you're going to be distracted by your friends or, you know, people who you're with, you know, maybe you should get with people you don't know so you can not be distracted. But it was just so cool. You know, all the people in this youth group, they were just so passionate. And they were just, you know, looking for people. You know, they were just going straight towards it. It didn't matter who was around. It didn't matter what they looked like. There's no distractions. They were going to, you know, heal people. You know, they wanted God to move. Amen. And I just to say thank you guys for, you know, really just being so in touch with God that it just doesn't matter what's going on. You know, we're going to bring God's kingdom on earth. Amen. And it just really encouraged me. So.
That's cool. Awesome. Thank you. I will tell you, I had a little bit of the same experience. We, the group I was with, me and Marianne and Autumn with us, and then Jason and Taylor. And, anyways, we were walking around and looking for people. I was looking for this lady who looked like Libby with a blue purse. And so we went into stores where I thought people like Libby might shop. So we walk into this one boutique kind of, you know, women's clothes store. And this woman came to me and the employee, she said, "So is there anything I can help you with today?" And I said, "No, just looking." And I was just looking. I was just... gone to Goodwill. I was just looking for somebody like Libby. So, you know, I love it. And Samuel, when the other van came home from Walmart, it was Ben Allen walked in and said, "Yeah, your son's running around Walmart praying for people." And awesome. Because, you know, the thing is, Samuel prayed for this lady in the wheelchair. Well, I know that a lot of times, if you're like me, my tendency is to see an old woman in a wheelchair and thinking, I'm not going to pray for her. She's old. And so she didn't really, God's not going to do anything there. And so, but that's just, you know, God wants to, if you're breathing, you're a candidate. And many times after you stop, you're still a candidate. So, that's good. All right, Pam, come on up. Share Kara's story today.
This was actually the first night. Of course, you know, there was 29 of us, total bodies, that were there. And, oh, good. Okay. I said I need a little help on this one because I wasn't actually up front. But it was just so encouraging, you know, to us. Of just the first night, you know, we're there and, you know, it started late, 7 o'clock, and we're worshiping. And, of course, one of our youth comes and she's got a boot on from a sports injury for cheerleading. And she'd been at camp and tried to do some things and wasn't able to do some things. And so she comes back and her, you know, foot's still kind of inflamed. We were really praying that she could come on the trip without the boot, but the doctor said no, it's going to have to be a few more weeks. And exactly what was the diagnosis of it, Jimmy? The top
stress fracture
and top of her foot. Right. So she comes, you know, so basically when she packs her stuff, she packs, you know, one shoe because, you know, we're in a boot, so she only needs one sandal for her left foot. And so, you know, so she's come with one on all her shoes, and she only has one shoe. So Wednesday night, and I mean, Neil and I and the rest of us were kind of just in the back because, you know, as leaders, it's just so incredible to sit back and just watch these young people just so on fire after God, moving in the presence. And I mean, that is just, it's just overwhelming. So I was kind of back, and so there was a group of them in front. But as the speaker, they were giving words of knowledge, and they just felt like there was that they had called for scoliosis. If you had scoliosis, that God was going to heal scoliosis. That if you had a sports injury, they felt like people. I mean, these were very specific words. Those really, really for us. And we actually had one young lady in our group that got prayer. She has scoliosis, not anymore.
That's right.
She was healed from scoliosis Wednesday night. The sports injury, and everybody's like, going, Kara, the booth, Kara. So next thing I know, I look up. And Kara's on stage with about 10 other people out of a conference of 1,500. And she's just weeping. And the presence of God is just all over her. And, I mean, she's just excited and just weeping. And she doesn't have her boot on. And, I mean, it was just, and we're just like, you were down there.
Yeah, basically, we had been up there for worship. We're, here's the stage, and we're, right there. And as soon as they said sports injury, I knew, there was Libby McDougall and Kara, and I just turn around. She's already crying, she knows. And so I just kind of was, praying for her, and basically I was like, okay, let's try this out. And so I get down, and I help her take off her boot. And so she still has a bandage around, and she's kind of walking. And she had been limping, and she starts, slow. I'm just watching her, and the more she walks, the less the limp just goes away. And so I see her, and she really wasn't supposed to put any pressure on it. So she stands on it. She's like, Sydney, this doesn't hurt. This doesn't hurt. And so, she's up there. And she goes on stage with the bandage on. And so, she's kind of just up there with everybody, and she's just still crying. So she comes back down. She's walking down the steps because the stage was, it was all the way, just kind of like 5 steps, going up. And so she's walking, and it doesn't hurt. And I take off the bandage, and I just remember seeing that boot just, on the steps. And she just didn't have it. And she was just so excited, and it was just really cool.
No, that's cool.
So one of the things that we need to know, that is, if we have, make sure you bring a pair of shoes, because God has them different. We had a lot of ladies, so it was really cool, because now Libby, for the whole rest of the week, that we were there, she was able to borrow someone else's pair of shoes, and she went the whole week. The boot was put to the side. I mean, we were packing, and it's like she's going to leave it at the hotel. It was just awesome. I was like, yay, but... Yeah, she was just, God healed her. It was just to the side, and it was just amazing.
Awesome.
Anyway, all kinds of great stuff.